call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Present.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here.
Six ayes, no nays. Please rise and convene the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think I'm still in that. I know, six ayes. I was in that appointment process we went through last week. I gave my agenda to Alderman Wilhelm this morning, and I don't know what happened to it. All right, you have next item on the agenda, citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Probably have to raise that microphone a little bit for you.
We should just start off with it higher.
You can put it on a chair or something.
My name is Kurt Bolton. I live at 8035 West Oakfield Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. Just wanted to make a couple comments on the two items on the agenda tonight. One was about the 70-30 goal. I guess my feeling always was that it wasn't that simplistic. The fact that commercial development does not draw from outside the community. And finally, if our road program is underfunded, it's basically due to the fact that we have a lot of residential development. So I'm hoping that the County Council does look very closely at this issue. I hope they look very closely at what kind of developments they're going to promote with TIF projects as well. And so the other issue I wanted to address real quickly is that I'm very interested in hearing a little bit more detail about the uncorrected misstatement on the audit report by our auditor. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir, if you please state your name and address for the record.
Leroy Levinesky, 8030 West Winston Way. I wish people would talk into these mics a little better, Mr. Tom
Mayor.
Taylor. You are the CEO of this city.
That's what they tell me.
Mostly, Kristen Wilhelm always looks towards you instead of the mic, and I can't understand any words she says. But the reason I'm here is that I keep hearing this fact that the Sam's Club wants a filling station on their property. I don't know why that has. That's been going on for about 8 to 10 years that I know of, and it seems unusual that we look for 70-30 circumstances here, residential to business, and when somebody wants to put some business in there, they postpone it. Is there any reason why they can't have a filling station in there?
I don't know anything about it, do you?
I've not heard anything either.
I mean, there was, I think early on, many, many years ago, they were looking at one.
But every time I go see the place, I visit there and do business, I get hit with that same question. Why can't you do something about having a filling station in Sam's Club? Well, thank you anyway.
Yeah.
I wish people would use the mic properly. Please.
Well, and I have, it's not just you, Mr. Lewandowski, that's brought this to my attention. We do have people that have some hearing problems from time to time, and it would be very helpful if everyone would bring the microphones as close as possible so that people in the back rows can be heard as well as in the front row. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to close the citizen comment period and turn to hearings. Item D, public hearing regarding proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change future land use map, use designation, I'm sorry, approval of the minutes, regular meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any
second.
Discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, let's do one more time. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. Hearings, public hearing regarding a proposed ordinance amending the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan change the future land use map use designation for property located at approximately 9733 South 76th Street from institutional use to business park use. Mr. Teal? Pardon? I just want him to. Okay, and the clerk has a notice.
Yes, and I can provide a brief introduction of the matter as well.
Sure.
This matter was brought before the Planning Commission for their consideration originally for the city to sponsor a rezoning for this location. The Planning Commission did direct staff to proceed with that. We also took this matter to CDA. They recommended support for the rezoning as well as a comprehensive plan amendment. Both are required for this proposed rezoning so that the plan stays consistent with the zoning. Came back before the Planning Commission at its last meeting.
Sir Deal, is your microphone on?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is.
No.
No, same.
Now it should, yes,
and
now it should be.
Working.
You're so close, Mark. Of course you're going to hear it. They're talking in your ear.
One more time, you're going to have to sing three bars of some Sinatra.
There are two items related. There's the public hearing, of course, for the comprehensive master plan that would be changing the future land use designation of this property from institutional to business park. Affiliated and associated with that is also a rezoning. That public hearing was held at the Plan Commission at its last meeting. The CDA has also looked at this matter and recommended approval of both the Conference Master Plan and the rezoning, as well as the Plan Commission. And this is to the change that property that was proposed for a church, for Southbrook Church. They subsequently bought a separate property instead, an existing church, and at this point in time are not envisioning any use of that property. We also did receive a letter from the pastor of that church saying that at this point in time they had no objection to that. And so then this would be changing the comprehensive master plan back to business park for this area and the zoning to business park. And just a note, before the church proposal, that zoning was mixed use, multifamily residential. So now we'd be proposing that the zoning would be business park.
Okay. Madam Clerk, could you please read the notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, May 21st, 2013 at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map use designation for property located at approximately 9733 South 76th Street from institutional use to business park use, City of Franklin applicant. Properties which are the subject of this application bear tax key numbers 896-9999-007 and 896-9999-008, consisting of approximately 17.77 total acres of vacant land. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Wisconsin Statute Section 66.10014D. Public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall during normal business hours. The proposed draft ordinance is also available and open for inspection by the public at the Franklin Public Library during normal business hours. In addition, the draft ordinance is available for review at the city's website. Any questions or comments about the proposed amendment to the Comprehensive Master Plan may be directed to Joel Deal, City of Franklin Planning Manager, dated this 11th day of April 2013.
All right, I'm going to open this up, item D1 for public hearing. Are there any persons wishing to speak during the public hearing? Are there any persons wishing to speak regarding item D1 of the public hearing? Are there any persons wishing to speak regarding the public hearing regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan? Yes, sir, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I don't understand why we keep changing the locations of these things because why can't we just leave it as a institution? Why do we have to go through all these legal things to change it? If it stays as an institution, so what happens? And then when somebody comes and buys it, we can change it then. Why would we have to do it in advance to make it a business park? I didn't think that was a business park. The business park is back some couple miles the other direction, but I feel this is a waste of time, money, our attorney, our planning department, this common council, just a waste of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn to item G1, 2012 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report of the City of Franklin and the required communications letter from Clifton Larson Allen, LLP. And you know the routine, so you have to please introduce yourself, give us your address, and welcome once again.
Good evening. My name is Renee Messing. I'm a partner with Clifton Larson Allen, and I live at 205 North Water Street in Milwaukee. I handed out to you this evening a PowerPoint that is also up on the screen. And this is really a very high-level summary of the city's financial results for 2012 and the audit process. And so I'll make my comments from this document, but I am happy to answer any detailed questions that any of you have relative to the audit process or the financial statements. When we begin the audit process, we look at the city's systems of internal control and the related account reconciliations and processes, and we assess the risk within the city system, and we concentrate our procedures on those areas that we consider to be the most significant. So we don't look at every single transaction of the city. We look at things on a sample basis using random sampling techniques as well as other confirmation procedures. And you can see on this list some of the areas that we focus our attention on. Those include transaction cycles like payroll and cash disbursements and cash receipts, but it also includes account balances like accounts receivable, long-term obligations, and revenues and expenditures. Then finally, we look at the disclosures that are included in the city's financial statements and the other information that is in the comprehensive annual financial report. The result of that process is the issuance of the auditor's report. And the auditor's report this year is in just a slightly different format than in the past. It really says the same thing, but it is written to be a little bit more understandable. It does identify that the audit was done in accordance with government audit standards, that the financial statements are presented fairly in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and then it identifies the audit work related to required supplementary and other supplementary information contained in the financial statements. And it includes a reference to an internal control and compliance letter. So that audit opinion is commonly referred to as a clean audit opinion or an unqualified audit opinion. And that's what interested parties are looking for when they read that opinion. The next page gives you a summary of your governmental funds. The city has a number of governmental funds, and they're identified as major funds that are listed separately on this page and non-major funds that are all reported in the aggregate. And if you look at the total column, you'll see revenues were $37.4 million, expenditures were $42.9 million, and your fund balance then was reduced by $5.5 million. Overall, the governmental funds have fund balance of $16.8 million. Just a couple of comments on those fund balances. The general fund has a fund balance of $6.5 million, and the general fund is in very strong financial position with a $6.5 million fund balance. The deficit that you see in the debt service fund is really related to an internal financing that was done. And so that's a temporary book loss that will be recovered as the city generates the tax revenue to repay that internal financing. So that was a decision that you made instead of going out into the bond market for debt.
What was that debt for?
It was related to the to pay off of other debt. You used funds on hand to pay off other external debt.
I was just wondering if there was a specific fund it all was allocated to, or if it was broken up into several debts to pay based on that.
Basically paid off the 2005 debt issue, which was in the debt service fund. So it was entirely within the debt service fund. That those funds, when borrowed, were used partially for TIF purposes, partially for capital improvement purposes. They become an obligation.
So TIF and capital improvement is the answer then, right?
The long answer, yes.
You can see that the tax increment district has fund balance of $4 million, and that $4 million is, of course, restricted for purposes of the tax increment district. The revenues of the city in those governmental funds are shown on this chart. And really, this is just to give you at a glance look at the financing on the revenue side. And you can see that 69% of the city's revenues come from property taxes, and only 11% from intergovernmental revenue from support from the federal and state governments. On the expenditure side, this chart shows you how the city's governmental funds spend the money. And there you can see that 39% of the expenditures are public safety and 29% are debt service costs. And all of the rest of the city's operations are relatively smaller pieces of the pie, but of course very important expenditures for the city. Now that information is presented in the way in which the city manages its financial information. The Governmental Accounting Standards Board requires you to report on a second basis of accounting that is more similar to business reporting. So on that basis, your fund balance of $16.8 million is added to by adding capital assets, which are your land, buildings, equipment, and infrastructure at cost less depreciation. It adds some receivables and some internal service fund assets, and it subtracts all of your long-term obligations, which are $23 million. So as a result, your net assets on that business type reporting are $113 million. The city has several other kinds of funds that are reported in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. You'll see the first two columns are the water and sewer utilities. The water utility had a decrease in its financial position for 2012 of $586,000, while the sewer utility had a decrease of $178,000. The bulk of those decreases really come from the depreciation on the capital assets of the water and sewer utility. And you can see that the net position of those operations is a total of $92 million. Of that $92 million, $89 million is invested in the capital assets of the utilities. The land, buildings, equipment, and infrastructure of the systems. $334,000 is restricted for equipment replacement. And the unrestricted balance, the balance that's available for cash flow of those funds, is $2.5 million. You do report an internal service fund that accounts for all of your employee benefits and insurance, and those amounted to about $3.9 million of revenue and $3.7 million of expense. And that fund has a balance of just over $3 million. The other post-employment benefit trust is accounted in your financial statements. It had an increase in its balance of $943,000, and it has $3.3 million as of the end of the year. Now, that OPEB trust is really designed to accumulate the funds for those post-employment benefits, and the city is committed to funding those benefits in accordance with the actuarial valuation. The comprehensive annual financial report has probably about 50 pages of footnote disclosures. The most significant of those I've listed on this slide, and I do encourage you to read through those footnotes as you have opportunity to do so. But these are the ones that I consider the most important. You did have a couple of new standards that you implemented during 2012 in statements number 63 and 65, and those primarily resulted in changes of presentation of certain items from assets to deferred inflows or deferred outflows, and it changed net assets to net position. So a little bit of terminology change in the financial statements. As part of the audit process, we issue an audit communication letter, and this is a standard communication between the auditors and the governing body. The first part of that letter talks about the qualitative aspects of accounting practices. It identifies that all of your accounting policies are in note one to the financial statements, and they are all standard for governmental organizations. There are no significant estimates in your financial reporting process and no particularly sensitive disclosures in the financial statements. We are required under the standards to review with you any adjustments in the audit process. There was one uncorrected adjustment related to the post-employment benefit trust. That was an amount of $511,000. And essentially, the city, under the standards, is required to set aside the amounts that are required under the actuarial valuation into separate and distinct bank accounts that are labeled in the name of the trust. Toward the end of 2012, the city made a decision to hold those funds in its treasury while it investigated alternative investment transactions. The investment manager responsible for the OPEB trust had less than positive results, and so the city made a decision to hold those funds while it determined the appropriate course of action. In May of 2013, a new bank account was established, and those funds were transferred into that bank account to come into full compliance. But as of December 31st, you were technically out of compliance with the accounting standards related to that transitional amount. We also had one correct...
Can I stop? Yes. That's the Government Accounting Standards Board Act you're talking about? That we were not in compliance?
Yes, right.
Okay. My understanding is I think there's 1,851 municipalities in Wisconsin. Some have yet to even begin to start the GASB process.
I would say most have not implemented a trust fund to begin setting funds aside. So
they're totally in violation.
They
are out of concurrence.
Yes. Well, the standard doesn't require you to establish that trust fund. If you do, then there are requirements that you have to follow related to it.
They're doing the pay-as-you-go.
They're doing the pay-as-you-go, and I understand that there is some proposed legislation related to requiring Wisconsin governments to begin funding these kinds of obligations that will work its way through the legislature, but that may result in more governments.
I don't want anybody to get a misunderstanding. I mean, I think there's still municipalities within Milwaukee County that haven't implemented GASB.
I would say most of them have not implemented a trust fund. So, overall, I think that the city has taken very prudent steps to set aside these funds in the OPEB trust in accordance with the actuarial valuation. And this really was a timing issue, not an intentional or oversight issue. We did make one corrected adjustment to the financial statement process. for about $96,000, and that was really a mechanical error in the calculation of accrued interest payable, and the city's management concurred with that adjustment. Under other matters in that letter, we have identified that there were no difficulties in performing the audit, no disagreements with your management. Management did not consult with other accountants, essentially seeking a second opinion. We did ask management to provide for us representations related to their responsibility for the financial statements as well as the internal control process. And the letter also talks about no issues related to group audits or other information in the financial statements. The final piece of information is related to the internal control and compliance letter. Under government audit standards, we issue an internal control letter, and that letter did not identify any material weaknesses in internal control or significant deficiencies or other matters. And I think that it's very important for the governing body of the city to recognize that the city's management is very focused on establishing good, strong practices, good internal controls, and exercising those controls.
I can interrupt you again. Just for the laymen out there that are not CPAs, so basically what that means is that everything seems to be pretty good as far as the management of the city, and that there's no real weaknesses in our financial structure. It's pretty healthy. And no other real important matters to report. So I've taken that's a report most communities would love to have.
It is a report that most communities would love to have. You know, kind of going along with what you said in layman's terms, it's really that the city has established checks and balances and reviews of all of the transactions so that there isn't opportunity for things to go wrong, because there are always procedures in place to make sure that they don't.
Okay. And the next part is no findings of non-compliance. So it looks like everything that we're doing, according to the layman, is doing it pursuant to HOIL.
Correct.
No violations of state and federal law that have been discovered by the audit.
Correct.
That's kind of a good thing, too. So.
It's an excellent
thing. Yeah, it's an excellent thing. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but as long as you're the auditor and you want to say that, that's fine.
So I'm happy to answer any other questions that anyone has.
And I'll make a motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Only that we have a finance committee for the city, and we have an excellent director of finance. Paul is doing a great job. And it's nice for me as the CEO of the corporation to be able to sit up here and hear these glowing reports about it, but it's really the hard work of the staff and also all the department heads for staying within their budgets and managing the city wisely. And I also like to compliment all the aldermen for their efforts over the years for making the city as financially healthy as it is. So, thank you. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You know, we should probably adjourn right after that report.
Thank you
very much.
Keep it on a high note.
And Cal's always telling me doom and gloom. Hey, I do have one question for you, and it's probably I could, either one of you can answer. But you said the fund balance is a little over $6 million. For the layman again, that's the rainy day fund. So that's the worst case scenario fund that.
It is the rainy day fund. It's essentially there for cash flow and contingencies, and generally we like to see that fund balance at between 15% and 25% of your annual expenditures in the general fund. So I think that you're probably at about 24% right now. So very strong financial.
Okay. The reason I'm sorry because you were leaving, but over the years there's been a lot of confusion over where people say, well, we're expending too much money here and too much money there, and to the average public, they think, well, we're not saving a dime. We don't have any money in the bank at all, and the actuality is 26% of the funds are in a rainy day fund, just in case of disaster, et cetera. And we have, as a council, been very stringent upon not touching that fund unless it was absolutely necessary. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice work, Kelly. Well, yeah.
And Bob.
All right. Item two, the police chief is at the Citizens Academy. I think he's going to be over in just a bit, so we'll go down to the next item. Ordinance to amend the municipal code of the city of Franklin, Wisconsin, provide for the extension of and cost recovery of public sanitary sewer within the Southwest Sanitary Sewer Service area served by the Rhine Creek Interceptor Public Sanitary Sewer. Mr. Bennett or Mr. City Attorney?
Mr. Mayor, this matter has been before the Common Council, I believe, dating all the way back to late in 2010. At the last meeting, there was a public hearing, and the Common Council heard public comment on the matter. Mr. Bennett did a presentation which included some of the history of public sanitary sewer policy in the city, and he asked that this evening I just give a short summary of proposed changes in the new ordinance before the Common Council here, and I'll sum up those changes as to what's proposed to be different from the existing code for the balance of the city outside of the Southwest Sanitary Sewer Service Area. Number one, unless the Common Council determines there's a public need and as a result undertakes a public works project, so it becomes a city project, existing developed properties with a fully functioning private on-site waste treatment system, provided they demonstrate that or prove that by submission of a licensed plumbing technician or inspector that occurred within the year prior to the connection requirement, do not have to connect to the public sanitary sewer, and as such, no connection fee or special assessment would be due by that property owner ultimately until time of connection. And historically, since public sewer was installed in the city, connection has been mandatory with a requirement that connection occur no later than 1 year after sewer becomes available, meaning adjoining the property or running along the property and within 400 feet of the connection point. Number two change, where a property owner applies for an extension, which would occur along other properties not involved, then the Common Council, per ordinance for the first time, shall survey all the people owning property property receiving one survey along the route of the proposed sanitary sewer extension to see what the property owners wish in favor of or opposed to the sanitary sewer set connection. And the code proposed would require the Common Council to give great weight to the results of that survey. In other words, 51% in favor. The councils to accord great weight to that. And as part of that determination, 51% would lead the Common Council into determining there's a public need that would create a city public works project and a connection as it has been elsewhere in the city since, the past 40 years, a connection would be required for all properties, even those not in favor of it. Number three, which is a new point, when someone's required to connect under a public need project, but they have a fully functioning on-site private waste treatment system, and when once again have provided a licensed plumber inspection of costs, et cetera, that the system was installed within the prior 10 years and that it remains fully functional, that property owner will receive a credit in the amount of the cost of the private on-site system installation against both the connection fee and the, any special assessment to the total of the cost of the private on-site installation depreciated over 10 years, meaning if the system was installed 5 years ago at time of mandatory connection, the property owner would receive a credit of 50% of cost shown against, first applied probably to the connection fee and second to the special assessment. So that's new. The fourth new item, and Mr. Bennett can provide the long history on this for elsewhere in the city, but the proposed ordinance creates a new sanitary sewer impact fee. Previously, when the Common Council first adopted a development fee ordinance, I believe it would date back to 1992, outside of the Southwest Sanitary Sewer Service Area, roughly 98% of that area outside the area which is the subject of this ordinance has been sewered for more than the past two decades. Sewer started approximately 1970, and by 1990, high 90% of the area was sewered. Also, in the other area of the city, which comprises about 70% of the land area of the city, sewer was installed at such a time as there were already existing subdivisions, so extensions went house to house to house with overall cost. These houses were close to each other as opposed to long open spaces of land. And that coupled together with there was, which no longer exists, a relatively constant practice of state and federal grants to local municipalities, which is what Franklin perceived for the purpose of installing and extending public sanitary sewer. So in any event, there was no need for a sanitary sewer impact fee for all the area, the remaining 98% already sewered, because the city wasn't, city number one in a sewer connection fee count had sufficient funds to complete that 1 or 2 remaining percent. And so there was no reason to create any such charge for impact fee. So it creates a new sewer impact fee, $2,928, and that's all based on information and study prepared by Rueckert & Mielke, as well as the city engineering department, on the actual cost to extend, considering all the area, proposed future streets and the like in the southwest area. Also, in a like amount, $2,928, is the connection fee amount, which compared to the balance of the city is more. It is supported by the needs assessment, just like the impact fees in amounts, which is in the council packet. The balance of the city, and this also dates back, I believe, 20 years or more, where it hasn't been adjusted, and it's due to that no need for the sewer account to incur more fund balance, because there wasn't that much more sewer to extend in areas in the other 70% of the city. So that amount remains at $600. However, the city engineer would tell you it is being reviewed for adjustment, together with an ongoing study also being prepared by Rueckert, working with the Department of Administration, Building Inspection and Engineering, to update the balance of the entirety of the impact fee code, which I don't believe has been adjusted in 10 years. as well as to look at connection fees for the balance of the area of the city, because that $600 amount has not been adjusted in, as I understand it, more than a couple of decades maybe. And one other point, just in terms of costs, it always comes down to what is supported by all the financial and engineering information, and the $2,928 is supported for this southwest area. Just one comparison mentioned by the city engineer in the city of Muskego, he advises that the impact fee for public sanitary sewer in Muskego is $4,875, which is almost $2,000 more. So those are the four main points. This area is different in terms of the engineering science required to serve it. So it's relatively unique. That's considered, as well as the history of how sewer came to the balance of the city. But the staff is recommending approval. It has major beneficial changes while, on the one hand, creating an impact fee and charging a higher connection fee. There is this ability to not have to mandatorily connect to sewer if there's a proven functioning on-site waste treatment system. And also there's this credit for a private on-site system cost where it was installed 10 years prior to a required connection. So that's the...
Alderman Skransky?
Well, I understand the city attorney's explanation of this amendment in the ordinance, and I'd like to make a motion to adopt an ordinance to amend the municipal code of the city of Franklin, Wisconsin, to provide for an extension and cost recovery of the public sanitary sewer within the Southwest Sanitary Sewer Service Area served by the Ryan Creek Interceptor Public Sanitary Sewer.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Taylor.
Well, I wish we could have had a little discussion on this first. I'm trying to sit close to the mic. I guess on the mandatory connection fee, I have a little bit of a concern with the language. In my read of the language, I really don't see how people are going to find their way out of that. I mean, the city has the right to make that decision, and so they can just make that decision that they don't meet the standards. So I'll be interested in watching that as we go through this, how many people actually are able to prove their point on that. I'm also concerned about the cost to residents, basically funding new development, and the language about the public need, which is not spelled out in clarity, about what a public need actually needs to fulfill that. The couple things that I might want to think about. At the last council meeting, I brought up the fact that the whereas contained language that talked about the needs assessment, and I said, well, I would like to refresh my memory on that needs assessment, which now is included in the package, and I really appreciated that. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of time to read through the entire thing, but I picked up a couple things in it. One of the things it talks about is this need to have the public aware of that, which is posted. I did check the public hearing. However, it would have been nice if that would have been in the packet the first time around. But my larger concern is the fact that I do not recall us having a discussion at council level. I know it was placed on the agenda. It was placed on the agenda in a committee hall meeting in January of 2012, and then it was tabled. It was tabled at the council meeting, and I don't remember it ever coming back or ever any full discussion on that document, and it would have been nice for us to have that discussion and made sure we all agreed with it, placed it on file, file or adopted it. I'm not really sure we did that. I looked most of the day trying to find that information to see if we had accepted that. It was a draft document in the committee of the whole agenda packet, and it was a draft document in the council packet at that time. So I don't know at what point it got confirmed to be the actual document we're looking at today. But one of the sections in there talks about is that the plumbing inspector shall have the, I think it's on page 54. It says that opposed to the sanitary sewer impact fee, which is collected upon the issuance of the building permit by the city, the sanitary sewer connection fee would be collected upon the issuance of a plumbing permit. And in the language in our document, we do talk about that it would be given per a building permit. So I'm wondering if that language should be adjusted in that document. Given the fact that I don't recall, and I don't think I was part of the conversation on going through this, I'm going to abstain on this. I do understand the city's need to do this, but I would have been more comfortable if I could have verified that we actually did adopt the plan, the assessment.
Taylor?
I got just one question regarding the impact fees. I remember we've had different Realtors Association, Metropolitan Builders Association talk about Franklin mm-hmm. being extremely high when it comes to impact fees. You know, the city attorney mentioned this specific one with Muskego being a couple $1,000 less, but where does this put this now? A person wants to build a house in the southwest corner. What is the total amount? Now you're adding this on top of parks and public safety. Where are we at now in terms of that portion of the city?
About 10,000.
We can answer that question.
I don't have those numbers here. I didn't compile a list of each of the separate ones, because this is a separate impact fee dealing with an individual service. So I didn't bring a list of the other ones.
And I mean, I'm going to support this, but I think in at a future, very near future, maybe committee of the whole meeting, we need to put impact fees on the agenda and discuss how much we charge. Because when you have a developer looking at doing something, knowing how much money he's going to get hit for each lot and have to pass on to the buyers.
Doesn't pass it
on. Or what?
Don't pass it on.
Well, it's a part of the profitability of the project, so you can't say that money isn't going to be taken into consideration when you're looking at us compared to Muskego, compared to Oak Creek, compared to... So I think we need to start taking a serious look at that and maybe making some changes on some of our other categories, because NNR $2,200, is that the number, $2,290, to this list is now putting us way up there. You want to talk about trying to get development occurring again, or home building, that's going to slow it down, I believe. So I just want to make that point.
City Attorney and Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Wilhelm. Alderman Smith, do you have your hand up?
Only that I mentioned in that summary earlier that the Common Council previously authorized Rick Belke to do an update with the staff on the balance of the entirety of the impact ordinances, and that's expected to be back here within 60 to 90 days.
Sooner.
And number two, with regard to Alderman Wilhelm's point on page 54, that refers to the needs assessment that talks about payment of impact fees to be collected by the plumbing or building inspection versus connection fees, which is collected upon connection. And the difference there is, by nature, impact fees are payable upon the issuance of a building permit, and connection fees are payable upon connection. So they're two different animals, even though they serve the same purpose. One serves an existing structure requiring sanitary sewer or utilizing sanitary sewer, and the property to be developed.
Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, just a correction. As the city attorney said, Muskego is $2,000 more than us. You said less.
Well, I meant $2,000 more, but I'm saying that that's fine to point that out, but when you're taking a look at how much ours is compared to all the neighboring communities, we are extremely high and out of whack. And unless we address that, that will cause issues down the road. You're just adding, we've already been labeled as high, difficult to do business with, the Republic of Russia in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to dealing with staff and inspection or whatever. That stuff hasn't gone away yet that I've seen. And now you're going to add another $2,300 on top of the high impact fees to begin with. Now, we need to do this, but we better start looking at the other areas, because I don't care if it's reimbursing or what. This will go into what they're going to sell lots for, what they need to make. They'll look elsewhere.
Well, Ms. Grasky, you're on the floor.
Yeah, I understand it, and I think that's a good subject that we should look at in the future and look at it, because none of this stuff has been changed in 10 years or more than that, and I think it's a good thing for us to do and make sure that we're in line with everybody else, so we can always make that adjustment. So that's why. Thank you, Your Honor.
Alderman Goldham?
Well, this is exactly why I couldn't remember going over there with this with the council, because if you go on page 16 in your council packet, there's the table in the needs assessment that answers the questions that you're asking tonight. What is the cost on a $150,000 home without impact fees? And then with impact fees, it brings it up to $160,000. And the additional income required for a $150,000 home is $2,154. The annual housing costs are $13,000. The increase for a $150,000 home is 4.6%. That's pretty high. So the increase on a $350,000 home adds impact fees of $10,000, the same as a $150,000 home, but the increase is only 2%. So we're basically either encouraging the smaller homes, or we're encouraging a higher income. And if we encourage it up to that kind of income and that kind of income isn't available, we're cutting down on the ability for people to buy a home in Franklin. So I wish we could have had some of this when this was on the agenda. You know, like I said, it was tabled, and I don't recall discussing it. But since you brought it up, Alderman Taylor, about discussing impact fees, I think that's a great idea.
Alderman Dendria?
I mean, Kristen, I hear where you're coming from, but the city's break-even point is going to be in the higher end of these homes. So just to cover all the other infrastructure and the school system and everything else that we have, we're going to be attracting this valuable home. So the incomes for the individuals that are going to be moving into Franklin are going to be on the higher end. They're going to be in the upper middle class strata. But to go with Steve Taylor's points, I've already talked to a lot of developers, and they're overlooking the Franklin area because of the impact fees. If we want to have another parade of homes in the Franklin area, now that we're developing the southwest region, we're going to really have to look at how we're going to attract the high-end developers that we want to get.
Chiefs, I guess I'm going to weigh in.
Your Honor?
I think we're a little, I guess we're on track with talking about the impact fees. This has come up several occasions. I think the last time issue of impact fees came up, Alderman Olson at that time said something about, why don't we just get rid of them? I was saying for several years that the city needed to compete and that we needed to look at incentives for bringing businesses in here, because the entire financial world had changed, and that's true. So there was an impact fee task force that was formed. I think I was an alderman. Lee Toms was my appointee to it. Trying to think of Swindrowski was the chairman. Many others. Christine Kramer was the staff for Rucker and Milkey in putting the report together. It probably went on for a year and a half. At the end of it, the Citizens Committee came out and made recommendations to the Common Council about the level of impact fees. What has changed since that time is that we were literally turning away development because we had so much of it coming in here. And then, you know, everybody picked up the paper one day, and the Wall Street collapsed, all the markets across the world collapsed, because there was faulty loans, et cetera, things that nobody could predict. And so even Franklin, when I say even Franklin, no longer was getting the amount of attention that it once had. I guess the other thing I would say is I wasn't around at the time when the impact fees first went into place, but I think the reason they were put in place was to try and stop development and to hold back on it. So if we're serious as a council, we're going to have the 70-30 issue coming up later in tonight. Okay, well, if you really want business and you want development and you want to bring it in here, let's talk about whether we should have impact fees on the table or not. Alderman Taylor.
And I will say one thing. I've been here now 5 years, so I guess I'm becoming a veteran a little bit, not as long as Alderman Skransky. But I remember when I first got here, the mayor talked about the fact at some point prior you had to push away business because there was so much of it. Like I said, I've been here 5 years, and since that time, we haven't pushed away anybody. I mean, we've talked about quality, and sometimes we turn down things because of lack of quality. But if we want to start getting the high-end development, take a look at, like Mark said, very seriously consider making some changes when it comes to impact fees, or that will not occur, because I've heard the same thing that in regard to Parade of Homes, is that there's no intention of having our Parade of Homes here anytime soon. Thank you, Your Honor.
Alderman Skransky, I thought maybe you did.
Yeah, at the time when we had the Prater Homes here, and that was in my district, they were going good until the market went in the toilet. And then we had a lot of problems. We had out-of-the-country banks and everything else, which turned everything sour. And it wasn't because of Franklin. It was the economy that really beat up everything. And I agree that we should all look at these impact fees and see that where we can maybe be more realistic to it, see how they fit, and to be progressive, because everybody else around us is. But just as the mayor said, or the city attorney, Muskego just went up $2,000 more than us, so you know we can't say we're the highest at this point. But yeah, I think we should look at it. The economy is different. The attitudes are different. And we do definitely want good business to be here. And we've always been very proactive about that. Thank you.
But just another little tidbit of information. Anybody building a home today, their appraisals aren't appraising out based on cost of construction, land and cost of construction. So the economy and the market value of homes out there is significantly affecting the building industry. Mm-hmm. And so we're not helping it by adding a $10,000 impact fee. And granted, some of these builders can't afford it. Okay, the homeowners can't afford it. Okay, but there's others that are on the more closer to the fence.
City attorney,
just a historical note on the subject. Impact fees then called development fees because the impact fee statute was not adopted until 1994, but back in 1992, the city adopted its first version of. And the Common Council specifically decided not to charge impact fees to non-residential development. And that was changed by the Citizens Task Force around the turn of the century. That was for the first time that commercial development was included. So you might want to think about that in your 7th discussion.
Alderman Mayor?
I keep hearing this underlying tone that we've got to develop, we've got to develop, we've got to develop. Yes, we do. But we've got to do it the right way. And it wasn't our fault. It wasn't the cause of the impact fees that the economy went south. Everybody's feeling this. There's no need for us to just suddenly give up the whole ship just to bring in development right now, right now. I want to have a Franklin develop that we can turn over to our kids 25, 50 years from now, that we didn't make quick judgments just to bring development in, just to do it. If our fees are in line with the others. I don't want to reduce our fees. And if they are a little higher and we hold out for better development down the road, I think that's a good thing.
All right, a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Abstain.
Five ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. If it's okay, we have the superintendent of the public schools here. I'd like to go to item four, and then we'll come back to the police chief. Standards, findings, decision of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of Franklin Public Schools for a special exception to certain natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance.
Mayor.
Yeah, Mr. Deal.
This is the natural resource special exception. For the school expansion, the high school is expanding, and there are wetlands located on their property, nine of them, and they're going to be impacting four of them. So they have to apply for the natural resource exception to be allowed to do that. They have submitted a preliminary natural resource protection plan, preliminary because they haven't gotten final wetland delineations yet. It was reviewed by the Environmental Commission. They did recommend approval of the special exception with staff's recommendation of mitigation, 1.5 to 1. So whatever the final numbers end up to be for the amount of square feet of wetland to be disturbed or removed, they would have to replace 1.5 times that. Same thing with the buffers and setbacks. Plan Commission reviewed that matter as well. There was a public hearing. Plan Commission made the same recommendation for that, and there's other conditions as well. For instance, to finalize the wetland delineations, to prepare conservation easements for the protected areas. The other thing I'd want to point out that is important to this, I believe it appears to be the reason they did not prepare a mitigation plan, so staff had to recommend something, was they're hoping to get letters from the DNR and Army Corps that says all of these wetlands are exempted, would not need to meet protection requirements. They have received one letter for one wetland already that says that it is exempt from wetland protection standards at the state level. And it happened to be for the same reason that we have an exemption in our ordinance. So one of the four impacted wetlands actually is exempted, so they would be allowed to impact that wetland. They're hoping to receive similar letters for all the other wetlands as well. No such letters have been received to our knowledge yet. We are literally that they would be able to receive letters for all those wetlands. So again, the applicant was wishing to proceed as quickly as possible. They prepared a preliminary plan, haven't prepared a mitigation plan yet. So all those are conditions. So there would be a number of conditions if this was approved tonight. They would have to finalize a natural resource protection plan, finalize a mitigation plan if those wetlands aren't accepted, pursuant to the administrative codes that are quoted in our UDO. And then in that instance, the mitigation plan would have to go back to the Environmental Commission, the Plan Commission, the Common Council for approval. Also, the point out, because it's a preliminary natural resource protection plan, if the wetlands end up to be bigger than they anticipate by any substantial amount, they would also have to go back through that process again.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, you pretty much addressed everything that I want to address. This will be my second vote of an abstention based on poor procedure that I see. And staff made, I feel, the correct recommendation. However, I don't feel like the procedure was followed. The ordinance clearly states to have delineations up front. We continue to do these. Mr. Lewandowski stayed up here and he talked about wasting staff time and fees. This is a perfect example. If this does, and this isn't the first project, if the wetland delineations can't be concurred, it goes just like Mr. Deedle said, all the paperwork, all the time, all the preparation, back through the Environmental Commission, which is staff, back through the Plan Commission, which is staff, back to the council. I just don't understand why we keep wasting time and not following the proper procedures. I'm not opposing the project. I'm opposed to the procedure. We've waited a long time to get this school here. I don't think waiting until we got the correct delineations from the permitting agencies is going to be that much of a hardship. And is, this isn't just pointed at this particular development. I want the people from the school to understand that. I'm objecting to this based on the procedure this council keeps continuing to do that's costing the taxpayer money.
So, Dietl, what is your statements on that? Let me ask you. Are we doing things differently than most other municipalities?
Most other municipalities would either not have strict standards as we do, or allow a lot more flexibility, or allow preliminary approvals similar to what we're doing now, or some combination.
Do other municipalities wait until they get the permits from?
Some do, some don't.
Are there any in the local community, local area?
I believe Oak Creek doesn't, and I'm not sure of the others.
Oak Creek, the one that's got all the development going? Alderman Schmidt?
I will support this, but I do have some of the same reservations given what we've been through down the road with the Myers projects and everything, with kind of putting the cart in front of the horse if they don't have the actual permits. But hopefully things will fall into place so we can keep moving forward to getting this project done.
Okay.
I would make the motion to adopt the standards, findings, and decisions of the City of Franklin upon the application of the Franklin Public Schools for a special exception to certain natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin, UDO.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Only that, I don't, until Alderman Wilhelm, I think it was today or yesterday, I kind of agree with her. In fact, I said publicly that I kind of wish we'd have the DNR sewer pack first give permits before we start having projects come in. Like, in fact, I think I said that, was quoted on that regarding the Myers project. One of the things I don't know is, does the DNR and the sewer pack want to do that?
It's my understanding that having local support is information that's valuable to the DNR. I don't know the exact details. Clearly, history has shown that they'll make decisions both ways. Sometimes they'll make their decisions without knowing what the local community says. Sometimes they'll make communities knowing what the local community will say. I know it's important to them, but I think it goes both ways.
Well, with the school district, I guess the question I have is, so whose responsibility is it to get the permits? The city's or the
We believe the UDO says that it's the applicant's responsibility.
The applicant.
Or the property.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Skansky.
Well, the point of procedure is not so much however other communities are doing this. It's a requirement under our natural resource special exception procedure that you provide no practical alternative as part of your analysis to get your special exception. If you don't delineate the wetlands, you can't show if you can make any other alternatives work because you don't know where the areas are. So the whole standards and findings and everything you're voting on tonight is based on information that you don't even have available to you yet, and you're voting on it. And that's the problem I have with the procedure. I'll call the question.
Question has been called. Is there a second to call in the question?
Second.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Abstain.
Aye. That's on the question.
Oh, I called the question.
Okay. You abstain?
Yes.
Right.
No, I'm calling
right.
the question.
Is there a motion to adjourn? Okay.
Second. Abstain.
All right. On the main the vote was I believe 6-0 to call the question. On the question, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Abstain.
Any no's? 5 ayes, no noes, 1 abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Katz.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be seeing you in the next few days. And I guess the other question while I have you, because I don't see you that often, is do you see Mr. Worker's press relief regarding the norovirus and that it seems that it's much less
under control.
It's under control, right? Just wanted to get that for the kids that were over at Pleasant View School. So, thanks for all your cooperation.
Thank you.
All right, and now the police chief. Item 3, ordinance to amend, update from the police chief Oliva on the transfer of management at the Milwaukee County House of Correction and the impact on city services. I asked the chief to come forward. We've had lots and lots of discussions regarding with county officials and the new superintendent of the House of Correction, but I thought that you and the council would like to hear directly from the chief as to what's the chief's view and where we are. So, Chief Oliva.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Effective 11:59 p.m. on Monday, May 6th, the transfer of the House of Correction to the new superintendent, Mike Haveman, occurred. As you probably read in the press, just prior to the transfer of management, the sheriff did transfer 400 prisoners, 200 from downtown to the House of Correction and vice versa. Informed at least 40 of those prisoners going to the House of Correction were maximum security prisoners. They're scheduled to go to prison. It'll take a few weeks to get those prisoners out of the House of Correction, but it is the plan to get them out as soon as possible. I'll say, as an aside, we were never notified. The police department was never notified of that transfer. Also, you probably heard about that just prior to the transfer, the sheriff transferred, I believe, over 50-some staff members from the House of Correction to downtown jail. So currently, the House of Correction is working understaffed by about 65 personnel, and from what I understand, they are managing with overtime. There was also some equipment taken from the House of Correction, removed, including some body armor and some guns from the guards. Since the transfer of management, we've taken two calls for service. One was regarding cocaine found in a prisoner's property, and one involved helping to escort a prisoner to Wheaton for medical care. We are still not quite sure what the sheriff will provide and will not provide as far as services at the House of Correction. We have been given some conflicting information. We were originally told that the sheriff advised the House of Correction that they would not be responding to calls for service to the House of Correction. So it was the superintendent's request that we would provide that service, which is concerning. Matter of fact, that first call for service regarding the drugs found, we were told by Sheriff's Department staff that no, they were not going to respond. I did call the inspector of the Sheriff's Department the following day, and he said that was a mistake, that they did intend to provide service to the House of Correction until further notice. 2 days later, we were asked again to provide some service. That was the hospital transfer call. And then that was followed up with confirmation from the Sheriff's Department per the inspector that they were not going to help the House of Correction in doing guard transportation. So we're going day by day regarding what we're going to provide or not. One of the big concerns I have is the investigation of criminal acts in the House of Correction. There are a number of crimes that are reported, prisoner on prisoner, prisoner allegations against guards. And if we were expected to do that, that would, I believe, impact our operations pretty significantly. Now, I've been informed very recently that the Sheriff's Office has told the House of Correction that they would respond to those criminal investigations. So I'm hoping that does occur. One other area that the House of Correction, at least for now, is asking us to provide a service of allowing them to use our range to train their guards or to certify their guards in firearms. So I gave preliminary approval for that. The information he has right now that the sheriff was not going to allow any of his personnel to use their sheriff's academy. Again, that was the initial information, and we're not sure if that's going to transpire or not. The one other potential, I believe, is pretty significant potential for providing service is for a major jail disturbance. They do have personnel trained to respond to in-pod disturbances, although a majority of those trained people were transferred out in the staffing transfer. So this new superintendent is going to have to get staff trained or get some of that trained staff back to the House of Correction. Once that happens, he does believe he'll be able to manage the majority of in-house minor disturbances, but for a major disturbance, again, he intends call the Franklin Police Department to respond, which is a concern. Our SWAT team is not specifically trained to respond to prison environments, to cell extraction situations. So should that be the case, I would be looking for a mutual aid request anyway to respond. But the bottom line is there's a number of unresolved issues regarding the sheriff's commitment to responding to calls for service there and what our role is going to be. So I just wanted to bring you up to date for what we have done so far, two calls for service, and with a couple of those unresolved issues pending.
Alderman Skrzynski?
Yeah, I have a question. That seeing that we're providing service as a municipality, is the county going to reimburse us for our time, our equipment, our personnel in order to be there, seeing that this is a county structure, not a city structure? So I'm going to maybe ask the question, Mayor, of our county supervisor, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Mr. Supervisor, but I think that's something that should be asked very, very pointedly, seeing that the management of that facility has changed. The personnel and all the rest of the things, and I know we all assist once in a while, but now it's like we have to be there all the time or very close to it, so and we want to make sure that citizens are comfortable that facility is secure. So I'll go from there. That's my comments.
Okay. County Supervisor Taylor.
Well, I was just saying, don't hold your breath. No, but seriously, I was one of the four supervisors that voted against this transfer. Even at the budget, during the budget, when this was an amendment, I voted against it. Because I'll go back, and I talked about this last month, when it went from the superintendent to the sheriff. I do believe there was meetings held in the city. Is that correct? There was meetings and information.
And then the county executives, now the governor, he was so embarrassed at the condition of that one.
So there was meetings and there was input from city officials, from police department and everything. And this goes back to, this was talked about late summer. The county exec did not put this in the budget because I think, you know, him along with myself and others thought, if you're going to actually do this, go from a sheriff to superintendent, you need to have a well-thought-out plan. So on the board floor, we had a budget amendment that actually made the change happen. This was in November. Made the change happen in starting January 1st. Then it was amended again, a substitute amendment, to actually make it April 1st. And then it's been pushed. So they were going to actually, we had people on the board, foolish enough, I got to watch my words here, foolish enough to actually think that this could happen and there'd be no real change in service, there'd be no little hiccups.
Any names you'd like to talk about?
Sure, I'll name a few. I can name a few as we go. And yet they never, ever contacted the mayor, police chief, never, you know, and I don't blame the county exec because this wasn't coming from him. This was coming from a board that basically could have cared less how it impacted our community. They could have cared less. And this passed and it happened, and then that's when, after the fact, the mayor was contacted, and then I believe it was the police chief.
Right.
The police chief was in on the selection process of the new superintendent, or at least brought to the table to say nice, you know, hi and that. And then they expect this to just happen. And the sheriff is in, I mean, we're in, the county board's in the news every single day, but the sheriff's in the news every other day. And it is just, the story has changed so many times. Over that weekend, I was getting phone calls from, you know, that I represent on the board, from actual officers, House of Correction officers, saying they are taking out flags and pictures and all the canines are gone and they're ripping off our patches on our, I mean, this is just back and forth over the entire weekend. It was a nightmare. Mark Borkowski was on the phone. It was crazy. And does it surprise me that we're being called? No, but it ain't right. And I think that this body needs to go on record and pass some resolution and send to the exec saying, it's not our responsibility. Our taxpayers should not be paying for this. And I remember there was a special judiciary committee meeting, and Supervisor Jurcik had the audacity to say that the residents of Franklin aren't being told what's really going on inside. Like, they should know how the prisoners aren't being treated well. They're not getting the right type of education. They're not getting, you know, the right type of treatment. Yet she wasn't concerned that it was her amendment that actually was changing this over from the sheriff to the superintendent. So there is just complete, I think, lack of respect to this community. There is a complete ignorance to how this was going to go down. And now it's unfortunately fallen into our laps, the chief of police's laps, and all of his officers. And, you know, I think we need to keep a record of everything that has occurred. But I think we seriously need to send the city, the county, a damn bill. Now, whether it gets paid or not, I don't know, but this is just not right. I know it doesn't sit with any. For those that have been here a while, the mayor's been quite involved, Alderman Skransky. For those that have served a while, this was a nightmare when there was the escapes. I wasn't sitting up here at that time. And there was plenty of input from the community. And if you ask our residents whether or not they feel safer when the sheriff was running the joint, I think the answer would be yes. Now, if you ask the residents whether they would want it to be gone altogether, that answer would be completely yes.
Well, and just so we're clear, the sheriff's department.
Sheriff's department, right.
Not
right.
The sheriff.
Not the sheriff. But, for example, I got a phone call from a constituent of mine on 68th Street that said, why is the transport bus, it was like a gigantic tour bus with metal all over the, why is that driving down 68th Street? Are we giving them tours of where they can rob if they decide to walk out of there? So they were getting off on Drexel, driving down to 68th Street, and then taking 68th Street to the House of Corrections instead of the old route of Ryan Road over, which is a lot quicker. So I picked up the phone, called Inspector Schmidt, and he said, this will stop. You have my word, Supervisor. This will stop immediately. And it has. But why on earth were we taking a route? I said, you understand. He said, you know what 51st and Drexel is. The high school is right there. And then you're going down 68th Street, which is, what, 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour max, instead of going. And now, if this call came in today, I don't even know who the hell I call. I'm not sure who the contact people are. And when I saw the superintendent the day after, I just told him, because I didn't vote for him, I said, don't screw it up. That's all I told him, nothing else. So I think we ought to take action at this body saying, you guys caused this mess, and we shouldn't be the ones that have to, you know, use tax dollars to clean it up.
So I'll construe that to be a yes to the answer to the question.
That was the don't hold your breath.
Wilhelm and then Alderman Mayor.
Well, I'm wondering if it would be appropriate if they're going to transfer inmates outside and not provide services. If we'd send them a letter saying if that's what they're going to do, that we prefer they move the facility outside of Franklin if they're not going to provide the services to Franklin. I'm wondering if that would be an appropriate letter to say if they're not going to.
Well, that has been communicated straightforward to them.
I'm just wondering if the council puts the action in writing saying, you know, if you're going to transfer inmates outside and not provide services to the community, then we prefer you move the facility outside of Franklin where you were willing to provide services.
In my previous duties with the City of Franklin, I had the opportunity to visit the House Correction on many occasions for patients for the fire department, and it's an educational experience, and they are being treated very well. Many of them don't know how well they're being treated. And it would be an educational opportunity for members of the council that have not toured the House of Correction to see what's really right in our backyard. I wish I had a bag, Chief, a symbolic bag that I could hand you, because with all the talk around here, you're the one left holding the bag if something goes south. And I want you to know, in your job, you're set up for law enforcement in the City of Franklin day to day. You're not necessarily set up for law enforcement in the City of Franklin day to day and putting down a major, what did you call it, a major uprising at the house. It's no different than my job. And sometimes we have to make decisions that, you know what, this is our primary focus. This is what we're here to do, to protect the citizens. I'm sorry, we can't do that right now. And I just want you to know that for the safety of your personnel and for the safety of the citizens, I would support whatever decisions you need to make. in terms of if you can't do something, you can't do something. You can't put your people in jeopardy.
Chief?
I appreciate that sentiment, Alderman Mayor. Yeah, I would suggest, I mean, what I feel is we are a pawn between some feuding egos, and there was a definite lack of communication, lack of cooperation regarding the transition. Sheriff absolutely would not cooperate with the transition, and which made it very difficult. And that's still what's part of the difficulty, is knowing exactly what the level of cooperation between the House of Correction and the sheriff is going to be. And that really will dictate how much of an impact we have in our city. And I promised the new superintendent that, you know, we would not leave them hanging out to dry because it still is our city, and if something happens, it's going to affect the city, so we are going to provide service that we can and are able to do if it means, you know, protecting the area around the House of Correction and the city as a whole. But what I would like to get, if possible, if they're going to send any type of letter, it's just some type of a commitment from the sheriff's office on what services they are willing or able or going to provide to House of Correction, so we know what they will do and what they won't do, and that gives us a better idea of what we have to prepare to do. Because right now I'm not exactly sure what type of services and calls or service that the Sheriff's Department would provide to the House of Correction.
City Attorney?
Perhaps this is a suggestion. And frankly, that was the first item that I looked for the action sheet for, because I was curious, because I thought it was a status on all the various report transfers as well as a certain court action on whether or not the facility is in jail or a correctional facility. But as soon as, and I thought impact on city services might simply go to the level of supervision, because I immediately think of Franklin Police Department serving the city of Franklin and its residents as well as visitors, but outside of the House of Correction walls. And I asked myself when I heard what this involved was, is not law enforcement on the House of Correction property intrinsically part of operating a House of Correction as opposed to the responsibility of some other municipal taxing jurisdiction's duty? And I'd like to take a look at that issue and bring it back for the next meeting. That could be part of a correspondence.
So whose responsibility is it under the statutes to guard, to maintain, to make sure that the place is safe?
Seems like an intrinsic function, and I just asking why would the city police department be performing that function when 19 municipalities are paying the Watt County taxes for the Watt County finance projects under their jurisdiction?
Well, and before I recognize Alderman Skronsky, so everybody understands the day that this all went down, if it wasn't for all the connections that this gentleman has right here, we would have no knowledge of all these transfers. Something like 400 to 800 prisoners were going back and forth, not only through our community, 68th Street, 51st Street, they were going through Greenfield and Greendale and Oak Creek and you name it. And as far as I know, none of the law enforcement agents nor none of the elected officials in any of those communities had any concept that dangerous criminals were being transported through their communities. Now, if you would have had a bus accident or something, Dan and I have been in there many times, is not everybody that's in there has done jaywalking. There's some pretty serious criminals. You could have had a whole incident of people being out and in the communities and hundreds of law enforcement officers and FBI and you name it, all the SWAT teams and the helicopters would have been up. What occurred here, and I've been a very big supporter of the sheriff's department because I think they did do a much better job than the former House Correction Management. But on this particular incident, if it wasn't for this gentleman and his connections, beefing up all the security around that house, we had no notice from the sheriff of Milwaukee County. And what he did, and I've been in government a long time, what he did was unconscionable. It was totally inappropriate, and it was probably one of the worst professional things I've ever seen occur in Milwaukee County government. 800 prisoners going back and forth without notifying. 400. Sorry. Alderman Wilhelm?
Mayor, I'd like to do what the police chief suggested and direct the city attorney to research and bring back to the Common Council the next meeting information for consideration related to impact on city services and other information as he feels appropriate.
Sorry, second. It's been moved to second. Under discussion, Alderman Skransky, my apologies. You had your hand.
No, I guess that happens. I have to go along with city attorney, and then it's not the first responders, that's the police and the fire. But you also got the city health department. You got the DPW department that's involved out there. So it's really just about all the city services that are given and expected by our constituents have to be over there too. And it's a real shame, and I have to commend the chief and what he's done, and like you say, with his connections, thank God a lot of this stuff is taken care of, and without even worrying about it. But still, that's very unprofessional for what the Sheriff's Department did, and not notifying the police department, the mayor, and everybody else concerned about this, because, you see that bus go around, and sometimes you wonder, where the hell is he going? He's going in the opposite direction. He shouldn't be in the residential, through the residential areas. I think it's a great concern, and I think it's something that between the city attorney and the chief and the mayor and everything, get a note out there, and we should have a very pointed discussion about this at the next meeting.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Mayor.
But I understand at the end of the day, I mean, this is the same department that management that sat at a committee of seven county supervisors and said they were appealing. And then the next day at 11:59 p.m. on a Friday night or whatever, then it was transferred. So you had senior staff look seven elected officials in the eye, and then three or four that were sitting in the audience, say that they are appealing this. So he's not touching this facility, the superintendent, until this goes through the next court battle. So to expect, when day by day the story changes of whether or not you're going to cooperate, not to expect anything out of that management team that you can hang your hat on is not, I would not go down that path. Understand that we have to look at, because the sheriff has made it very clear that he is in control. He's a constitutional officer. He is in control of his department, period. So if we're looking for compensation for our services and things like that, you'll get a quicker answer on that. But unless we're going to take legal action against the sheriff, because he can, frankly, do what the heck he wants. That's when we have to get a clarification, I believe, because day by day things have changed. And I don't expect us writing a letter saying we want to know whether or not you're going to respond. He may tell you, and then that may change. So...
Alderman Mayor?
I'm in favor of the motion in 2 weeks, but Chief, do you need something sooner than that?
No, I think we're okay. Again, we've had just the two calls so far, and so far we've been able to manage it. It's not anything we can't manage at this point. It's more of the future that I'm concerned about. And having something hopefully settled so we know going forward what we can expect, but I'm comfortable now. And just to go on record, I've been in constant communication with the new superintendent. He's very communicative. He's called me a number of times just to keep me up to date on the status of the facility, what he's doing, what's taking place, some of the communications he's got with the Sheriff's Department. So he's been very, very informative, and he's willing to work with our department and keep us informed about what's going on. I feel comfortable going forward that he's going to have a handle on the House of Correction. I also understand that the sheriff did a very good job in transitioning that facility from the previous management, which was obviously lacking in quality management. But I believe the current superintendent is qualified, experienced enough, and I believe he'll have a handle on keeping that facility under control. Now, there's some policy decisions that, you know, people may or may not agree on how prisoners are handled or programming, but as far as the safety and security of the facility, I think you will have a good handle on that.
Just say, the superintendent, I believe, offered right off the bat to come in and meet with myself and the council, I believe.
Yes.
I said, given the circumstances, we appreciate if you would just try and take care of the security issues that need to be taken care of. But we did communicate. We're very appreciative of that. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief, for all you do for the city. Item 5, ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map designation for property located at approximately 9733 South 76th Street from institutional use to park, business park use. Alderman Skransky?
I'd make motion to adopt ordinance number 2013-whatever number is appropriate to put in there to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map designation of property located at approximately 9733 South 76th Street from institutional to business park use, approximately 11.77 acres in the City of Franklin.
Second.
Moving second under discussion. Only I just wanted to say thank you to the church, to the minister, for their cooperation, taking this as a serious issue. It was mixed use. We plan commissioners and council agreed to rezoning it with the caveat that they were going to build a very large community center like the one that exists in Hales Corners for all of the people in Franklin. And that's why the city was willing to make that move. So when that didn't occur, and they found a new place, I asked that this come back for the rezoning for the county council. Okay? All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 7, a reapportion of 2011-2012 monies for Clare Meadows South 51st Street Sidewalk Community Development Block Grant Project. Alderman Wilkin.
Did you miss 6?
6.
No, ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone certain parcels of land from I-1 Institutional District to BP Business Park District.
So moved.
Oh, second. I'm sorry. Okay. It's been moved to second. Any further discussion? For the record, Alderman Mayor, step down for 1 second. Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now, item 7.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Seeing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 8, resolution accepting a road reservation for the 60 feet reserved for future extension of South 49th Street. Alderman Wilhelm.
I'll make the motion to introduce the resolution accepting a road reservation for the 60 feet reserved for future extension of South 49th Street. South of West Marquette Avenue is granted by the quick claim deed number 4980272, Real 909, Image 50, dated February 17, 1976, required for the extension of West Marquette Avenue east of South 49th Street.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
I was like 28 days old.
I just have one clarification on the whereas.
Alderman Wilhelm, you're on the floor.
On the whereas, the third one, it says, whereas the 60 feet of the proposed extension is contained within the, isn't it 66.95 feet contained? Because that's the whole length across there, Mr. Bennett. At least that's the number on the bottom of my map.
Oh, fine.
Yes,
that's the width of Minnesota, but the 60 foot.
Okay, so 60 feet is correct, then not 66.95. Thank you.
All right. For the record, Alderman Mayor has returned. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 9, resolution awarding bid to the lowest bidder for the South 37th South 37th Place private property sanitary sewer lateral inflow infiltration rehabilitation from West Rossin Avenue to West Madison Boulevard.
I'll make that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 10, authorization to advertise for bids for the installation of concrete sidewalk on South 51st Street from West Minnesota Avenue. Wilhelm?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 11, City of Franklin Vision Statement. Mission statement and 70-30 goal. Let's see, anything else? I'm just wondering if that's going to be a long discussion or if we should just knock out these, hopefully try and knock out these others. 70-30, I ask that this be put on the agenda because we do have a new council. I think when Alderman Taylor and Alderman Wilhelm became Alderman, I asked same question I'm asking you tonight, and that's that you wish to continue having the 70-30 goal of the city. Is that your number one goal? I think you've got some information from Mr. Liberta that should be in front of you, a memorandum. You wish to more clearly define the 70-30 goal, i.e., you wish the 70-30 goal for the Franklin School District, for the entire city, for the Franklin School District, and the Franklin-Whitnall School District. I bring up those things because I'm sure many of you know that the Oak Creek-Franklin School District, the combined taxes down there are actually, I think, some of the lowest, if not the lowest, in all of Milwaukee County. So we don't really have a problem at all with taxes in that particular area. Actually, it's a very desirable place. So my suggestion would be is to gear it more towards the Franklin and the Whitnall Franklin School Districts, where we have more of a problem, and where the city... I don't know. I don't think it was maybe it was intentional. I think that there was a time where Franklin wanted to be very much like Mequon, a bedroom community that was mostly all single family homes, and all well and good. But then all of a sudden the property taxes started going through the roof, and you know businesses that were down in the the breweries and Alice Chalmers and A.O. Smith and all the different businesses, they started to go under. And so county taxes, MATC taxes, everybody else's taxes went up. And so Franklin decided, and I'm looking at Alderman Skronsky because he can probably tell us this, he decided, well, you got to start to change the tax base because I think when I became an alderman in 99, I think the tax base was 84% residential, 16% commercial. It might even have been worse than that. Maybe it was 87% residential. So what had occurred with all of that is that the brunt of the taxes are being paid by the property owners, and businesses were not sharing in the cost for things like schools and sewers and streets and all that. But this is truly a policy issue. I think it has been the number one goal in the city, and I think it's very important for us and the staff to know whether this council wants to continue down that road. So, Alderman Willen.
Well, when I voted on that, on the 70-30 goal, the last time it came up, I guess it was an okay goal. I thought there were other things that we could have added to the goal. And I'm looking at Mr. Patterson's additional information provided. And also, I had noticed already before he said that page 2 of the report that was just given to us from the auditors, it says that we have already reached pretty much the 70-30 goal. So maybe we should be setting our goals another step up from that.
Where does it say that?
What, that we've reached that?
Yeah.
In her.
What page?
It's on page 2. The city is a residential community, 72.7.
Page 2?
Right. With a growing commercial industrial base of 27.3. So it looks like we're pretty much there. I mean, it's... So maybe it's time to define that goal just a little bit more. And I guess I would be open to what the finance department might want to suggest, or maybe if Mr. Liberta could come up with some ideas to maybe beef up that goal or set something that might be more beneficial to the city. I would be really open to listening to other ideas.
Okay. Alderman Skransky?
Well, seeing that most of the development is going to be in the 6th and the 4th District with the land and with the CERTA that's out there, I think it's something that the council should really take in depth and take a look at her, because we, with the Comprehensive Master Plan 2025 and a lot of things that are out there, and the economy picking up, we should be looking at another business park and other commercial endeavors and things of that nature, because the Comprehensive Master Plan does indicate a lot of those things. It does indicate a lot of residential subdivisions. So maybe it's something that maybe in a month or so, after we get some of the other stuff cleaned up, start taking a look at this, get some suggestions in... maybe look at different percentages of where we're hitting on our goals and where we want to go. So change is inevitable, and I think it's time to look at things. Because the Whitnall School District, the small portion that I have in my district, is all residential. It's gone. It's built up. It's aging. The homes in there are going to be anywhere 40, maybe even some are 50 years old. So it's a very small section of the district in that. And mainly, Franklin School District is in the bulk of the city, outside of along 27th Street, I think somewhere up to 35th Street and things like that. And those are all built up outside of the 27th Street strip. So that's something I think we should look at constructively, with some objectivity to it, and what we want to do, and keep a very open mind on it, on where we want to go on those things.
I think Alderman Taylor and then Alderman Danter.
Well, I mean, just based on the memorandum dated May 21st, I mean, just on 27th Street alone, we can get to 70% as a city, but that's not going to do a lot of good to the Franklin School District and the majority of our tax-paying residents, which shows you that what we need to do is development in the Franklin School District, and where the growth is going to occur is in that district, especially the southwest corner. So you add another business park, another successful business park, and that's going to get you where you need to be long term. I mean, that's, if you need $418 million, what's a business park valued at now? $200?
Yeah, that's about that.
So, I mean, that would get you halfway through just one business park. So, I mean, that's where, and I think we're set up that way with the comprehensive, like Alderman Skransky said, with the comprehensive master plan, with the fact that you take a look at, you know, where growth's going to occur, like, you know, the Burlington growing, the traffic that's going to go on back and forth there.
Highway 36.
Yep. Yeah, 76, correct.
And 36.
So, yeah, and 36.
Hold
so, so, I mean, I think we've kind of spent a couple of years on the comprehensive master plan trying to say, this is how we're going to get there. So I think this is a really nice document, because it shows where we have our work cut out for us. Because if you just look at the percentage, hey, we're at 72%. But we're almost there. But really, we're not. Because the majority of people live in Franklin School.
Well, I mean, we've got the Tickner Report. And, I mean, we all know where we need to develop. But now the question is, how do we get there? And how are we gonna market ourselves to attract business? You know, we're missing a very integral part, which a lot of communities have, is a developed person. can't do it on volunteers. And so we have to look at how we can designate dollars to get a qualified person that can market the city to attract business and an industry so we can move forward.
Alderman Skronsky?
I think we touched on the subject a little earlier in this meeting, impact fees, what we're going to do with it. So, because it has a negative, as we all agree, it had some negative impact. If we look at it logically, how will it affect us positively?
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Taylor.
Well, I was going to make a motion, so I'll let Alderman Taylor speak before I do. I was just going to make a motion to have Mr. Liberta and our finance department provide us additional information for the next council meeting.
Sure, and that's fine. I'll support that. But also, I think the previous council, when Alderman Olson was in that chair and Alderman Solomon, we directed staff, and I'm sure they're working on that, to look at neighboring communities, mm-hmm. what they're doing in terms of economic development, you know, with that person, what they're paid, what their roles and responsibilities are, and obviously preparing, you know, getting us ready for it so we can kind of tell the mayor this is the route we'd like to go. So when he's putting together his budget, he knows that he has to now fit that in somehow, and there may be a little tax upper, there may be something. So I absolutely am in agreement with you, Mark, because before you got here, that last meeting when we had the previous gentleman in your seat, we talked about it, and that was unanimous. But let's take a look at that. So, Mark, could you maybe just give us an update where we're at on that?
I have to apologize. I wasn't
about
sure.
About looking with other communities, whether they have community development directors, economic development directors.
We're still
working on that. But that's something that is being worked on. But you will have to get it in a timely fashion, because we need to be able to make a decision based on the information, and then also, you know, let the mayor have that knowledge that we want this in our as a part of our staff, so we can pay for it.
Correct. But I mean, I agree with it because I made the statement. But we also have to make sure that we have the land available for someone to attract. I mean, yes, we've got vacancies, okay, and yes, we have to fill our inner vacancies as well. But we've got, you know, to work hand in hand with facilities around, chambers of commerce, that, you know, very viable chamber of commerce. Otherwise, we're going to miss the boat because Oak Creek is ready to unload their 200-plus acre industrial park. And I think we got a guy on. We can bring business in from the south and probably some very attractive businesses.
Well, Nick, so we don't limit the discussion because, I mean, it's really a good discussion. It's helping me a lot. Because it, I think the motion that you're going to propose is really good, because it's going to tell us how active we as management have to be regarding, should we really go all out in the Franklin School District in comparison to the Oak Creek Franklin School District, et cetera, et cetera. Just on Oak Creek, because I have spent a considerable amount of time looking at all of what they're doing down there. And actually, it's Wiz Park that's doing everything. So while we're talking about an economic development director, a community development director, or all that, there are also consulting groups that do this. In fact, we have a partner in our business park that not saying that would be the person, but that's actually who's been marketing business park, doing all the stuff. And we had Stan Kuzmatka in here, and we had Doug Wheaton, and Mark had it for a little bit. Jesse has it. You know, we have a liaison with Mooney Lesage, but they do a lot of it. So I think the discussion is very good, and I think we should explore all avenues, whether it be a full-time economic development director, economic development director, economic development corporation, Wiz Park, for the lack of a better term, a consulting group, Mooney Lesage. There was another group that Jim Reiner and Ted Grinch has brought in some years ago that can go out and market everything. So, I think it's a real good discussion. Alderman Schmidt?
Yeah, we had some discussions last year about ways to marketing directors, we allocate funds for it. facilitate avoiding circumstances like losing a Meijer store, that we try to keep things moving in the right direction so that they don't, we don't create curves that are going to cause a company to run.
I guess with Myers sort of, you know, kind of closing the door on them, I think if the council wanted to come up with an additional $1 million just to give the corporation, you probably could have.
With our discussion, I think this is very good and positive. I think we should bring in some of the, not only the industry professional that we have in the park, but some other ones to diversify on what's happening out there, because now with the sewer that's here, the economy's getting better. It'd be good to hear the other side of this in the real estate business, the commercial, the residential. Get them in here and just have a very open, clear discussion of what's going on and give us an update. And I'm sure they would be more than glad to come, even if we put out a lunch and just have a good discussion on, hey, what's happening here that we're not aware of that's going to make us into more positive decisions as we're going along with this and then go forward from that point. But we need them as a positive entity to what's happening out there. And you can see everything that's going on and get that diverse opinion from CBLs and Egrins and Lesage or Mooney Lesage and all the rest of those. They're the players out there in the market. They know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tom, when you and I had lunch at a meeting at Tuckaway with Jim O'Malley, he mentioned bring the developers in that are used to developing areas in communities all around.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's track that and have a good round robin discussion. Hey, Franklin wants to be assertive. We want the right businesses for our 35,000 people plus. And as we grow, we want to be able to get it into Franklin's boundaries. Granted, do I like it that the way Franklin is designed, it's all perimeter work, you know, and there's some in the middle, but it's mostly perimeter. The city has been designed on it, where the commercial is going to be on the perimeter. It's kind of hard to change that now. We've got 76th Street, but that's about it coming through the city. And there's not much we can do on Loomis, but we've got some good arteries that we can feed. And Ryan Road is going to be probably a very important part that we can get retail and industrial in there.
And just so everybody knows, the Plan Commission future meeting, we're going to try and take a field trip to Shorewood to see what they did with redevelopment efforts. I took a tour with the president of Shorewood, and my opinion, what they did was simply miraculous. They have turned that whole area around, but it took a lot of willpower and creativity. But they had a goal, 70-30 goal, whatever, and they went after it. It looks like they're going to get it. Okay, Alderman Wilhelm, did you have a motion you were going to make?
Did you capture anything that I said the last time?
Motion to direct staff to provide additional information.
I think it was direct administration and finance department to provide additional information that might support or in addition to the 70-30 goal. I guess we could include the possibility of an economic development director into that, which is
something I think. Second.
All right, it's been a little seconded.
Just one discussion point.
Yes.
The discussion is good. We should invite these people in and talk to them, but I agree completely with getting someone or some entity that can take our vision and drive it forward, because just the talking won't get it done. We need a person or some group, as you discussed.
I'd be happy to turn this all back to Doug Wheaton anytime. The council wants to do that. Your dilemma is going to be when you get to the budget. It's going to going to be economic development director versus...
Right, and Your Honor, I think to the new alderman in the 2nd District, I don't think it's just talk. I mean, I think we directed staff to do the homework, which they're doing now. Mm-hmm. They're working with the Fort Franklin Committee and the chairman. They're going to come back with a bunch of different options of what other communities have done so we can then figure out what's best for this city and then, yes, make a decision. So it's not going to be that we're just talking and talking and talking like you just kind of inferred. The fact is we're going to make a decision either to do it or not. It's just that simple because it is not about just talk. It's about action. And so I'm willing to spend the money. And Alderman Olson was sat in the chair saying if it's on, give them a $100,000 budget and pay them $100,000 and give them a budget and let them go to work, get the right person. That's the key. And that's what this body will decide. So it won't just be talk.
No, I mentioned it. I've been on this for many, many years.
Right.
I'm very pro-business and residential. And we have to start thinking of our future, and our future is now.
You couldn't make me happier.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. LeBert?
Just a couple points. I would encourage everyone to go back and read Chapter 4 of your 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan, because that is all about economic development.
Right.
It's adopted as policy, and it addresses a number of things that you've talked about, including that the first step of an initial economic development plan is getting clear definition to what the 70-30 was intended. For example, you referenced the number used in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and that's based on a different calculation than the city's historically used. For example, all of your multifamily apartment buildings are considered commercial. I don't think that's everybody's end intent. So that's the stuff that I understand from this motion that finance and admin will now begin working on what's in there. But I would encourage you to read that. My second point is there was a brief reference, although I was glad to hear it wasn't part of the motion, that you would want this for the next meeting, because there's a little bit of work involved in doing that right to give you back something that will be concrete enough to move forward in the manner I think you're doing. So, finance and us will get on it.
I'd just like to ask if the two of aldermen have the Comprehensive Master Plan book 2025. If they don't, and the appropriate books, that would be good to have.
Make sure. Anybody can go to the resources tab of the website on top, and then there's a comprehensive master plan section in each chapter.
All the things they didn't tell you.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, there's a motion on the floor. Second, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Item 12, the acquisition of land for the extension of West Evergreen Street for the end of existing West Evergreen Street. South 51st Street east to the west line of the Pleasant View Park.
Mayor, staff is suggesting that we go into closed session for this, so I'm going to make the motion to enter closed session pursuant to the Wisconsin State...
I believe I have.
Okay.
Common Council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85 sub 1 sub B to discuss the acquisition of land for the extension of West Evergreen Street from the end of existing West Evergreen Street east of South 51st Street east to the west line of the Pleasant View Park site to acquire parcel number 3 located at 7501 South 49th Street and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as deemed appropriate. Is there a motion to that effect?
Yes.
Is there a second? Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Dandrea?
Aye.
Just one.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Scott?
Aye.
6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Only those parties having business on this particular item. All right, are we back? All right, we're back in open session. Is there, the council had some lively discussion. Was there a motion that's requested?
Mayor, a motion to approve the offering price as discussed in closed session for parcel number 3 located at 7501 South 49th Street for the extension of West Evergreen Street from the end of the existing West Evergreen Street of South 51st Street east of the west line of the Pleasant View Park site.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 13, notice of claim from Dennis Winanarski, alleging sustained damage as a result of negligence from a lightning strike.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all, Mr. City Attorney.
Not be negligence.
We're still into the findings of the city's insurer.
Yep.
That's your motion?
That's
and who is the second?
Second.
And that's your second?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 14, notice of claim from Stephen Doctor for sustained damage.
Motion deny.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to deny. Any discussion?
Same as the last.
Same
as the last motion pursuant to possibly, what was it?
The city attorney?
Insurance company.
Recommendation of the city's insurer.
That's it.
And who is the second? Alderman Mayors, and that's your second as well?
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Miscellaneous licenses?
We're going to start with Alderman D'Andrea.
Madam Clerk.
I could just make a suggestion to Alderman Taylor. If you are going to break it up into sections, then one alderman has to move and then it gets seconded.
Okay.
And then you continue with another one.
You got it.
Alderman
D'Andrea. So I have to make a motion.
At the end of your third page.
Oh, at the end of the third page.
Yep.
Or you can say I move to.
I can do that right now.
I move to. Okay. To approve these licenses. Rutgers Company, Inc., approved pending background checks and inspections. 27th Street Mobile, LLC, approved pending inspections.
She has a
and you have to say what the license is that you're approving. So you're going to say Class A combination.
Class A combination. Sorry. Okay. We'll start over. Okay. Motion to approve. Rutgers Company, Inc., Class A beer, approved pending background checks and inspections. 27th Street Mobile, LLC, Class A combination, approved pending inspections. Hodak Petroleum, Inc., Class A combinations, approved. Franklin Quick Check, LLC, Class A combination, hold until 6/4/13. Mega Marts, LLC, Class A combination, approved. 7-Eleven, Inc., Class A combination, approved pending inspections. Pyra Corp, Class A combination approved. Pyra Corp, first one was on Ross and the second one's on Ryan. Class A combination approved pending inspection. Sam's East Inc., Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending background checks and inspection. Sendix Franklin, Class A combination approved pending inspection. Spirit Dreams LLC, Class A combination, approved pending inspections. Target Corporation, Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending inspections. Altermart Food Inc., Class A combination, daycare and pharmacy, approved pending background checks and inspections. Walmart Stores East LP, Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending background checks and inspections. Walgreens Company, South 27th Street, Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending background checks and inspections. Walgreens Company, 76th Street, Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending background checks and inspections. Walgreens Company, Loomis Road, Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending background checks and inspections. Wisconsin CVS Pharmacy, LLC, Class A combination and pharmacy, approved pending background checks Chai Gardens, or Chai Garden, Class B beer, approved pending background checks and inspections. Federation of Croatian Societies, Inc., Class B beer, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspection. M Squared, Inc., Class B beer, approved. VST, LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspection. The Bowery, LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspections. Buckhorn Inn, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspection. Country Lanes, LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, bowling alley, approved pending inspections. Rock Sports Complex, LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, hold until 6/4/13. ERJ Dining LLC, or 3 LLC, Class B combination, approved pending inspections. Eric Setback, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, hold for appearance. Franklin Hotel Company, LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspection. Gus Mexican Cantina, LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved. HB&H LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspections. Hanley's Grill and Bar LLC, combination or Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, and Coin Machine Tag, approved pending inspections. La Toscana Restaurant LLC, Class B combination, approved pending inspections. The Landmark of Franklin LLC, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending inspection. Little Cancun Restaurant, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending background checks and inspections. M&W Loan LLC, Class B combination, approved pending inspections. Pantheon Inc., Class B combination, approved pending inspections. Bologna Sports Club Inc., Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending background checks and inspections. Polish Heritage Alliance, Inc., Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending background checks and inspections. QT Pizza, LLC, Class B combination, approved pending background checks and inspections. Rawson's Pub, Inc., Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved.
Second.
Discussion.
Point of information. I just want to know what the process is for approval if one that has been approved has an outstanding complaint.
Madam Clerk?
Complaint or non-compliance?
Well, if it's a staff violence or ordinance violation that they're stating as an ordinance violation.
If the inspection department has approved it in the software system,
planning in this case,
it's planning. I don't know if they have placed a hold on it. Usually, if it's one that Alderman Dandrea read that just said approved, that would mean that the departments have no holds or outstanding orders.
Or they didn't get it to you.
That's correct. Or they got it to us and it was in a prior year and it never carried through to the next year because each year stands alone when the inspectors go out or when license renewal time is. Everybody starts from June 1 as the license year. But if there is an outstanding compliant or non-compliance, the license goes out with a letter. If it's not a major thing, goes out.
Okay.
They're told they have X number of days, depending on what the violation is and which department gave them a certain amount of days. They have X number of days, and then it comes back to the license committee if they haven't completed it, and the license committee can decide whether or not they want to direct the city attorney's office to proceed with a revocation.
So my concern is that these aren't getting to your department, and I want to make sure that that's done correctly, and I don't know the process of.
Do you want to ask for separate action on a particular?
No, because without having it, I can say that I'm fairly sure, but I can't say 100% if it was cleared before we came here. So I just wanted the clerk to know, so maybe, I don't know if her department can run a check on complaints or whatever in the process, or how we go about doing that, because it's...
Well, the planning department does not enter...
Are we talking
license
about
compliance.
Specific?
Yeah, that's
right. Okay, we're kind of okay.
If somebody has a specific one, we can we can look at it and bring it back to the license committee at the next meeting.
Or you could ask that one of these be separated out.
Well, I guess I'm willing to just go ahead with it. It's just I need the information, and I think that if there's a process and there's a situation when someone has a violation, should they be getting a license before they clean it up?
It's proof pending, it's everything being done, just like it's always been 5 years we've been on, it's always been proof.
Right, but these are complaints, citizens' complaints that are uncleared by the departments that are placing the complaints, and I wanted to know if that mattered or if we just overlook that. I didn't know, and that was my point of information, was to try to determine that. Because I thought somewhere I read that if you have something outstanding that you don't get a license. I thought I read that somewhere.
It's monetary.
Okay. Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion?
Just one quick question.
Hold on, Mayor.
I thought traditionally the license was the teeth by which we gained compliance for the inspectors. We've got a lot of on here that are pending inspections. Does that work in the past? Okay, so we're comfortable with that? Okay.
Yeah, they will enter them into the system hopefully in the next month before the end of June. And the I just want to clarify what the ordinance, there is an ordinance that says if there is delinquent fees owed to the disability or
that's what
otherwise
it's, okay.
Right.
It's code violations, we can start revocation.
Okay, motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay, who's going to take
it? Skransky.
Yeah, we got the two rookies at the beginning here.
And then I clean house.
Yeah, he cleans house.
Why? I promise you.
Good.
Well, G-Lau, combination B, combination, approved pending inspection, Robley Tech Incorporated, Class B combination, approved pending inspection. Class Romy's Place, Class B combination, temporary entertainment and amusement and coin machine tag. Approved Class B and coin machine, hold entertainment and amusement license pending additional information. St. Martin's Inn, LLC, combination B, Class B combination, approved pending background check and inspections. St. Nicola Religious and Cultural Enterprise, Class B combination, entertainment, amusement, and bowling alley, approval pending inspections. 76th Street Pub and Grill Incorporated, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved. TJAL Holding Incorporated, combination B, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, hold for appearance. Class B combination, three sellers, approved pending inspection. Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, Country Club, Tuckaway Country Club Incorporated, approved pending inspection. Two Brothers, boy, you gotta get this one.
It's property.
Property? Okay. You say
that's
clerk,
how we spell
you're on. Okay. Holdings Incorporated, Class B combination, entertainment and amusement, approved pending background check and inspection. Class B Combination Entertainment and Amusement, Wild Breed Incorporated, approved. Academy of Preschool Learning, Daycare, approved pending inspection. Amy's Academy, Daycare, hold until 6/4/13. Faith Academy, Daycare, approved pending inspection. Jubilee Christian Church, Daycare, approved pending inspection. Kinda Care, Daycare, approved pending inspections. Kinda Care, Daycare, there's two of them. I don't know, was it required to give the addresses with those? No? Okay, approved pending background checks and inspections. Miss Ricky Structure Daycare, Daycare, approved pending inspections. Risen Savior Nursery School, Daycare, approved pending inspection. St. James Preschool, Daycare, approved pending inspections. D&K Management 8 LLC, Mobile Home Court, approved pending inspections. Franklin Mobile Estates, Mobile Home Court, approved pending inspections. L's Auto Salvage, Auto Salvage Yard, approved pending background check and inspections. Durham Auto Salvage and Sales, Auto Salvage Yard, approved pending background check and inspection. Aurora Pharmacy, hold until completion of license received. Family Treehouse LLC, Entertainment and Amusement, approved pending inspections. Innovative Health and Fitness, Entertainment and Amusement, approved pending background checks and inspection. Jump Zone, Entertainment and Amusement, approved pending inspections. Milwaukee County Sports Complex, Entertainment and Amusement, hold until 6/4/13. Oakwood Golf Course, Entertainment and Amusement, hold until 6/4/13. Whitnall Park Golf Club House, Entertainment and Amusement, hold until 6/4/13. Marcus Cinema of Wisconsin LLC, Entertainment and Amusement, approved pending inspections. American Entertainment Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Clear Choice ATM Limited Coin Machine Operator, hold 6/4/13. Games R Us Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Mitchell Novelty Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. National Coin Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Red's Novelty Incorporated Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Reggie's Amusement Incorporated, or LLC, hold until, our Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. S&P Equipment Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Games LLC, Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Winner Amusement and Video Game Service, Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. Wisconsin P&P Amusement, Coin Machine Operator, hold until 6/4/13. I make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Do you mind going over there one more time?
Which one would you like? Third from the center or fourth?
Okay, we've got a motion on the floor. Seconded. No more funny business. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Taylor,
all
you're
right.
On.
Oh, I have.
Look at the ones he gets.
Right.
Look at
yeah.
The easy ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I got a lot of them though. Yeah. I got paid. I got from May 16th meeting. I got pages 7 through 11, and I'll make the motion before we go on to tonight's meeting. All the following are all operators. Bostwick approved, Flash approved, Martinson approved, Mishlick approved, Augustine approved, Barloney approved, Bergner approved, Deeringer approved, Bitterim approved, Broadback approved, Brown approved, Davison approved, Drought approved, Ellis approved, Falk approved, Fletcher approved, Gagliano approved, Gidman approved, Godick approved, Grass hold pending receipt of schooling. HASI approved. HASI approved. Hall approved. Hart approved. HASI again. Wow, three different ways to say it. Approved. Hodak approved. Irwin approved. James approved. Johnson approved. Kalibik approved. King approved. Kletzka approved. Nackert approved. Corferl approved. Kowalski approved. Not the candidate. Larscheid approved. Levenhagen approved. Madsen approved. Marquardt approved. Mast hold pending appearance. McDonald approved. Magna approved. Palma approved. Peters approved. Filipovic approved. Rainwater approved. Reichel approved. Rosick approved. Rosick approved. Rosewitz approved. Sawinski approved. Schmidt approved. Spranger approved. Stangler approved. Swicharchuk approved. Totes approved. Tyson approved. Welch approved. Wickers approved. Zarker approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. How did he get you guys to take all the hard ones and he just took all the opposite?
I noticed that.
Quantity.
And
seniority.
Veteran.
Senior move. Senior move. I can do a senior move.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries.
On today's meeting, the following are operators, and I have a few other ones at the end. Skeen approved with the letter. Mast approved. Brown approved. Fish approved. Fox hold for appearance. Grashinski. Grachowski approved. Hanley approved. Jackson approved. Lang approved. Lehman hold for appearance. Lehman approved. Lachusi approved.
Casey.
Huh? Casey. Yeah, I'm just, this is about quality.
Alderman Skronsky and I are very familiar with that one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Magellan, hold for appearance. Matusek, approved. Page, approved. Ruskusitz?
Bukusik. Matusek.
What?
Matusek.
Ruskavich, approved. Schaefer, approved.
I thought he said he grew up with
Schaefer, approved. Yeah. Nope, Muskego. Schnell, approved. Turner, approved. It's like winos. Menino approved. And those are all for operators. Then we have a temporary class B is the Federation of Croatian Societies approved. Temporary class B, Federation of Croatian Societies Incorporated approved. And then extraordinary entertainment and amusement event, Ragnar events approved.
Is there a second?
Subject to department recommendation as agreed upon with applicant.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I think you should all give yourself a round of applause. Okay. Yay.
Lingual class.
Okay.
I
ain't getting emotional. Let's see. You now have before you vouchers dated May 21st, 2013, numbers 147133 through 147292 in the amount of $1,258,254.78. Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the payroll of May 17th, 2013, the amount of $336,793.72. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify. I'm sorry, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Skronsky. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. I just, before we adjourn, did everybody see Mr. Worker's press release on the Franklin School situation? Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
There. That's it. Yeah.